All right. Yeah, we better move those song lyrics off the podium here because we wouldn't want me to flip them to the top of my notes and burst out in song. That would be wake you all up very quickly. Anybody get a full night's sleep? Anyone? A few people? A few people? Anybody not get any sleep at all? Stay up all night? You're probably sleeping. Oh, there you are. There's one. Anybody a morning person? Any morning people in here? Not very many, and I won't bother to ask if there's anybody who's not a morning person because you probably don't feel like raising your hand. So, but anyway, well, it's good to see everybody out, and hopefully we'll try to all stay awake together. But anyway, if I could ask another one of the young men to open us up in a word of prayer this morning. Anybody? All right. Amen. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles back to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Just as a little recap, as we've already read this morning, we read together Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And as we talked about last night, valuing Christ, putting Him first in our life, not allowing the world to steal our affection for our Savior, and asking the question, do we value Christ? Do we put Him in first place in our lives? Do we consider Him excellent? Do we consider Him valuable to the point that all other things in this world that do not glorify our Savior are a loss, are rubbish? And so we talked about that as the foundation for what we're going to be discussing today and this morning and this evening as we continue through looking at the Christ-centered life as we see Paul exemplify that in Philippians. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. We're going to pick up in verse 19. It says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And as we talked about last night, we see Paul setting the example for the Christ-centered life. And as you go through Paul's life from Acts all the way through his letters to the various churches, you see a man who is 100% sold out for Christ. One who cares nothing about the things of this world. One who would give up all his success, all his achievements in his culture in order to seek and to serve and obey Christ, his Savior. He was zealous for Christ. He wanted nothing more than to glorify Christ, his Savior. And that's what we see here in Philippians chapter 1. A little bit of kind of a background as to where Paul's coming from. Paul, as he writes this letter to the Philippian believers, is sitting in jail. Paul is sitting in prison, and he doesn't know if he's going to get out alive. Paul doesn't know whether he's going to be martyred for the sake of Christ or whether he's going to be set free and allowed to continue spreading the gospel. And he's just finished telling the Philippian believers that there are those out there who are purposely trying to make his life more difficult. There are those out there that are actually teaching the gospel out of spite, trying to make Paul's life even more miserable. And Paul says, but you know what? Christ is being preached all the same, and in that I will rejoice. You see, Paul's viewpoint was not, well, a woe is me. Paul's viewpoint was not, oh, well, this is a great position. I can't believe that my Lord and Savior would lead me to this place where I'm trapped in this jail cell. No, Paul's viewpoint, Paul's focus was, how can I glorify Christ in the situation that I find myself in now? How can I glorify Christ in the circumstances that I'm in at this very moment? And we see that Paul's focus is on glorifying his Savior. And as long as Christ is glorified, Paul will rejoice. And so this is the setting we find Paul in, wondering whether or not he's going to be martyred for the sake of Christ or whether he will be set free to continue the work of Christ. But we see that Paul is not at all worried about the end. He's not worried about which path he takes. He's not worried, oh, well, I really hope I don't die. Paul is not worried about the turnout. He's not concerned about death. He's concerned about glorifying Christ. What does he say in verse 20? He says, "But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Whether I live or die, Christ is going to be magnified. Christ is going to be exalted through my body. Paul says, if I die, I'm going to die in such a way that it gives glory to Jesus Christ. And if I live, I'm going to live in such a way that it gives glory to Jesus Christ. He will be exalted. He will be shown great in my life, no matter what happens to me. Paul would look at even the possibility of death as an opportunity to glorify Christ. Paul had one focus, and that was Christ. He had one goal, and that was to glorify Christ. For Paul, his life had one purpose, and that purpose could always be fulfilled no matter what the circumstance. Paul says, it doesn't really matter what situation I'm in. It doesn't matter what circumstance I'm in. I can always find a way to glorify my Savior. And we see that throughout Paul's life, he would capitalize on every opportunity to preach the gospel. He would capitalize on every opportunity to serve Christ. He would capitalize, he would make every effort, no matter what the circumstance, to speak of Christ and to glorify Him with his life. Paul was focused on Christ. He cared about nothing else. And therefore, in verse 21, Paul would say, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And as we cover living for Christ and letting Christ live through us, we're not going to focus as much on the last phrase in verse 21. We're going to focus more on the "to me, to live is Christ," because to die is gain, as we come to the point where Paul was, when we value Christ above all else, when we allow Him to live through us in such a way that He is our life. And as we will look at in the next section, when we take interest in the things of Christ, when we invest everything we have into Christ, into obeying Him, into His work, into His church, and we invest in the eternal, when we value Christ more than anything else, the response of "to die is gain" becomes a natural response, because we have dedicated everything we have to eternity. We've dedicated everything we have to Christ. We value Him more than anything. And so to depart from this world and to be with Christ is something that we look forward to. It's not something that we dread. And so when we come to this point of living that Christ-centered life, it's only natural for us to say, "To die is gain," because we've invested everything into eternity. We've invested everything into our Savior. And so for us to die is gain to us. And so we're not necessarily going to focus on that last phrase. What I want to focus on this morning is, "For to me, to live is Christ." And how Paul would say that no matter what happens, to live or to die, Christ will be glorified. Christ will be magnified in my body. And so we find it only natural to agree with Paul as we center Christ in our lives that to die is gain. You know, but when we have Christ on the back burner, when we find that we don't live for Christ, when we find that we don't value Christ, then all of a sudden we find that, well, to die maybe isn't as much gain as it should be. You know, we begin to fear death. Well, because I'm kind of holding on to the things of this world. I kind of like it here. I kind of like it in this life. And I've got so much invested here. And I've got my time here. And I've got all these things going for me here. And I really don't want to leave. And so we're not really thrilled about the idea of passing on into eternity. And I also believe that there's a little bit of dread in the back of our mind as we live our lives selfishly, as we live our lives for ourselves, and we put Christ on the back burner. We don't care about Christ, and therefore there's a little bit of dread about the thought of actually meeting Him and coming face to face with our Savior and realizing that He was the most important thing and we ignored Him. And so as we focus on Christ, that reaction of "to die is gain" becomes a natural response. And to be able to say "to die is gain," we have to be able to say "to live is Christ." And so how was Paul able to say, "For me to live is Christ"? If you look at Paul's life from the book of Acts through his letters, we see that Paul was 100% sold out. Everything he did was for the gospel. Everything he did was to glorify his Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul laid aside everything, his wants, his desires, his flesh, the things that he desired to do for the sake of Christ. And as we looked at last night, he counted everything as loss. He counted everything as rubbish, everything as a waste of time compared to the excellence and the value of knowing Christ, his Savior. It was like a sunken ship. Everything that he did outside of Christ was a waste. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. As we think about Paul, as he says, "For me to live is Christ." Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "For through the law, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life which I now live in my body, in this fleshly body that I am in, the life which I live here on earth, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We have been given a new nature. We've been given a new life in Christ. We've been given a new heart. We've been given a new desire for him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." We are given a new heart, a new nature, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives in us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and Christ is in us. Paul says, "It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." We have been given a new life in Christ, and it is only through him that we truly live. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so it is only through Christ that we can truly live. If we don't know Christ as our Savior, we are dead, spiritually dead. We are apart from God. We are separated from him. But through the sacrifice of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, as we accept that free gift of salvation that he offers to us, he gives us new life. We are made alive in Christ, and he is our life. Outside of Christ, living according to the flesh, you know, there's no life there. There's no substance there. We can't go on that way. Our life is in Christ. We are linked to him. And as Paul would say, "In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." And as we look at this word faith, you know, faith is hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is hearing the Word of God. And because we believe God and we trust God, then we act upon what we hear. We act in obedience. I hear the Word of God, and because I believe God, because I trust God, and I have trust in who He is, because I heard His Word, I trust who He is, I believe what He says, I will act upon what He says. I will act in obedience to His Word. You know, you think about, I have an allergic reaction when I eat pecans. And pecans are in everything because we're in the South. But I have an allergic reaction when I eat pecans. My tongue itches, my neck itches, and, you know, it is not fun. And so I have to be careful, especially down here, when it gets to the dessert table, a lot of things have pecans in them. And so I have to kind of be careful and look and say, does that have nuts in it or not? Because if it's a nut, we're in the South, most of the time it's a pecan. And so, you know, I have to be pretty careful. But if someone was to come up to me and offer me some brownies, they look really good, and I'm like, man, I want one. And I said, well, do they have any pecans in them? I can't eat pecans. And the person tells me, no, there's no pecans in here. Well, they've told me that there's no pecans in the brownies, but I have to believe them. You know, I have to say, okay, well, I trust you. And if I trust them, I eat the brownie. Now, what happens if I say, well, I believe what you're saying, but I don't believe I'm going to eat the brownie? Well, that's not really faith, is it? That's, yeah, I believe what you said, but I'm not going to put my trust into what you said. I'm not going to take action. I'm not going to take what you're giving me because I don't have faith that what you said is true. You know, faith is hearing, and because we believe, because the one whom we've heard from is trustworthy, because we have confidence in them, we act in what they say. If I say I believe you, but I don't act in that way, if I don't do what you say, well then I really, what does that say about my faith? And so as we live the Christian life through faith, we hear his word, we believe what he says, and we act in obedience to His Word, and we obey Him. And as we do that, He strengthens us, and He gives us the courage and the strength to continue step by step as we take each step of obedience. We take that first step, and Christ strengthens us, and He gives us the power, and He gives us the courage through His Holy Spirit to take that next step of obedience. And He guides us and leads us along the way, and it is Christ living through us. It is Christ strengthening us to move on. It is Christ giving us the ability to take that next step of obedience. You know, Paul did not know what tomorrow held for him. Paul didn't know if he was going to die tomorrow or if he was going to be alive tomorrow. You know, any moment the executioner could have come knocking on Paul's door and said, "All right, it's your time, let's go." But we see that Paul's life was not concerned about what was going to happen to him here. Paul's life was concerned about obeying Christ. He said, because he knew the Word of God, he had faith that what God said was true. He had faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ. He valued him above all else, and his one focus was to obey him and to serve him and to glorify his Savior. And he trusted Christ to take care of the rest. And he said, "I'm not really worried about what happens to me because that's in my Savior's hands. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I can't do anything about the next day. I can't control anything in the future. It's all in my Savior's hands, and I trust him to take care of me, and my focus is obedience and to glorify Christ." And so we see that Paul took the truth of the Word of God and applied it to his life and lived by faith, not according to the flesh. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, we have a struggle. We have a battle that goes on within our lives every day. We have been given the Holy Spirit of God. We have been given the life of Christ. He lives in us. Yet there is still a struggle between the new man, this new creature, this new heart that Christ has given me, and the old flesh which continually wants to rise up and take over my life. And so we have this constant struggle that goes on, a daily choice as to whether I will obey Christ in faith or whether I will do what I want to do or whether I'm going to serve myself and satisfy myself. And we know that Paul had this same struggle. You know, we read through the New Testament, we say, you know, Paul, he must have been perfect. You know, we never really read of what did Paul ever do wrong. He got saved and he just had this amazing Christ-centered life, and he just, in his mindset, I mean, he must have just been brainwashed. That's all we can think of. I mean, he had this perfect life, this perfect Christ-dedicated life. But we see that Paul himself says in Romans chapter 7 that he too had the struggle that we face today. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, Paul would say that he also struggled with that old flesh. He struggled with that old nature trying to rise up and take control of his life. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15 says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, then I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. But now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present within me. Evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so we see that Paul had this struggle. He had this battle going on between the old man, the flesh, the one that would desires to sin, that nature that says, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do the things that please me. I want to do the things that make me happy. I want to take the things of this world and I want to run as far as I can with it. Paul had that desire within him, and he battled between the desire to sin, the desire to do the things of this world, and the desire to serve Christ. Paul said, I want to do the things that serve Christ. I want to do good. I want to serve my Savior, but I have this second nature. I have this old man, this flesh within me that keeps getting in my way, that keeps standing in the way, and I sin and I do the things that I don't want to do. I don't want to sin. I don't want to disobey my Savior, but I find myself doing it over and over again. And we see that it is a battle every day between the new man and the old man. And we see that it is a matter of living out our position in Christ, taking hold of the truth of God, of the Word of God, and living it out day by day in obedience and in faith, putting to death the deeds of our flesh and living in the Spirit, allowing Christ to live through us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, which you, if you're already in Romans chapter 7, just look over. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And so we read that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Verse 9 tells us we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is our position in Christ. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we have life in Him. We are in the Spirit. And this is our position in Christ. The flesh is dead. It is defeated. And we are in the Spirit. We are alive. We are alive in Christ. We are children and heirs of God. And that is an unchanging truth for the believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, if He is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit and you are alive in Him. And that is an unchanging truth. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit as a believer of Jesus Christ. He is not going anywhere. A new creature has been created within you. A new nature has been created within you. And for you to lose the Holy Spirit, for you to lose that salvation, you would have to kill the new man. You would have to kill this new creation that God has created within you. You would have to get rid of this new heart that God has given you. If you are saved in Christ, you are secure, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and He is always there. He is not going anywhere. You have the Holy Spirit, and He is alive in you, and you are alive in Him. And that is who we are. That is our position in Christ, and that is unchanging. It does not change. But we still have to deal with the old nature, as Paul talked about in chapter 7. So how do we do it? How do we put to death the deeds of the flesh, and how do we allow Christ to live through us? How can we say, for to me to live is Christ? How do we live in the Spirit? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Walk, the word walk in verse 16, it's our life. It's our occupation. It's what we do day by day. Live according to the Spirit. Your occupation is to walk according to the Spirit. The walk here is your life. It's how you live your life. It's what you do. You walk according to the Spirit. And how do we walk? By faith. Verse 17, we see again this battle between the Spirit and the flesh, and we have a list of the obvious works of the flesh. You know, you look at these things and say, well, that's obviously of the flesh. That is obviously not of God. And, you know, as we look through this list, we say, well, you know, in murders and drunkenness and revelries, and we look through this list of things, and there's some really bad things on this list, but there's some things that we are all guilty of. Jealousies, dissensions. There are things on this list that you and I are guilty of, and it's the works of the flesh. Verses 22 and 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit, the things that come forth as the Spirit of God lives through us, the outward proof of our positional reality. In verse 24, we are reminded that the flesh has been defeated, and we see that we still deal with it, as we see in verse 17. We still deal with its influence, but the flesh has been defeated. Verse 25, we read that if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we just talked about what the word walk meant in verse 16. It meant our life. It meant our occupation. It meant the things we do live according to the Spirit. But in verse 25, it's a different walk. In verse 25, it says, let us also walk in the Spirit. The word here is not the same. It means to fall in line, to march, to keep step, to conform or walk orderly by faith in the obedience to Christ. So if we are alive in the Spirit, which all of us as believers are, our life is in Christ, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is an unchanging positional truth. If that is true for you and me, if the Spirit of God dwells within us, then we are to fall in line with the Holy Spirit. We are to walk, we are to fall in line, we are to march as in the Spirit. We are to conform to the will of Christ, we are to follow Him in obedience and in faith. So if it's true of you and me that the Spirit of God lives within us, if it's true of you and me that we are indwelt and that we are alive in the Spirit of Christ, then our life should show that forth. Then we are to walk according to the Spirit. We are to fall in line. We are to conform to the will of God, and we are to follow and live our lives in obedience to Jesus Christ. And therefore we live by the Spirit. And what it really boils down to is having the right view of Christ and who He is, having the right view of ourselves and who we are, and knowing the truth of the Word of God and applying it to our lives, keeping our focus on Him, denying the desires of the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, and letting Christ live through us. We have been given a nature, a new heart that desires to do what Christ has commanded us to do. You know, we as believers, when we get saved, we desire to do what Christ has commanded. We desire to obey our Lord and Savior. We have a new desire. You know, before we got saved, we had no desire for Christ. We had no desire to do the things that Christ has commanded. Why on earth would I ever deny myself outside of Christ? I mean, the world looks at us and is like, you're foolish. What are you doing? This is in your best interest. Why are you not doing it? I mean, you should definitely cheat. What is wrong with you? You have the answer sheet. Why would you not cheat? I mean, goodness, what is wrong with you people? Put yourself first. You're number one. The world revolves around you. What is wrong with you people? But we have a new nature in Christ, and it's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I want. It's no longer about my desires. I now have the desire to serve Christ. I now have the desire to do what's right. I now have the desire within me to obey Him. And so we have the new nature. We have been given the full armor of God so that we can fight the battle and win. And when the enemy attacks, we have the truth of the Word of God to defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy and the spirit, the sword of the Spirit to fight back. To say, this is what the Word of God says, and in obedience of faith, I'm going to do it. Christ is giving us everything we need to be victorious and to allow Him to live through us and to live for Christ. It's all about Christ and who He is and what He has done. It's not about me. It's not about what I want anymore. It's not about how I want to live my life. If you look over Paul's life, it was never about Paul. From the day that Paul got saved, it was not about Paul. It was not about what he wanted. It was not about himself. It was a complete surrender to Christ. Obedience through faith, 100% focused on who Christ was and how He was the most valuable thing in his life. It was all about Christ, not about self. But we still have to battle that selfish nature. Our flesh is pretty much what we as fallen humans want. It acts out in selfishness. You know, my wife just had a baby, and she's 4 months old today, and she's actually in the back. But, you know, as cute and adorable as she is, and she is the most precious little thing, you know how long it took us to figure out that our baby was a sinner? Not very long. It doesn't take long to find out they're sinners. You know, she's 4 months old, and I believe it probably started closer to 3 months old. You know, for a while, they cry because they have need. They cry because they're hungry, and they cry because their diaper's full, and they cry because my stomach hurts. But there comes a point in their life, and I believe ours has hit it, that they begin to cry and scream and throw a fit because they want something that may or may not be essential, and you haven't given it to them when they wanted it, and they throw a fit. And our sweet little Victoria has already thrown her share of fits. And I mean fist clenched, face red, just screaming at the top of her lungs. And you always know that it's just something she wanted because you pick her up and she's just fine. She wasn't hungry. Her diaper didn't need to be changed. Her stomach didn't hurt. She just wanted whatever she wanted. And she threw a fit because she didn't get it. And so it doesn't take long to realize we are naturally self-centered. We are naturally those who care only for ourselves. And it starts at a very, very young age. And so, you know, we are born sinners. It comes natural. No one ever had to tell you to look out for you. No one ever had to tell you, hey, man, you really need to look out for your interest. You really need to take better care of yourself. This whole serving everyone else thing is going to hurt you. No one had to tell you that. You were good at that from day one. We were good at that from the womb. We looking out for number one. And so that desire of the flesh is what we fight against every day. It's our own selfishness. It's that old sin nature that we have to drag around in this life. But we have been given a new nature, and that nature is of Christ. And He has given us a new heart, and we now have the desire to obey Him and to live for Him. But the winner of this daily battle depends on who you feed. You know, you got... You've heard it before. You got two dogs and they get in a fight. Who wins? Well, the one who gets fed more. The one you feed is the one that wins the battle. It's whichever one we feed the most. When we have the correct view of Christ, we value Him above else, we're in the Word daily, and we're feeding the Spirit, that nature inside of us. We're devouring the Word of God, that spiritual food, and we are feeding the Spirit. We are paying attention to Him. We're living in the Spirit of God. We get stronger and stronger. Our desire becomes more and more. If I seek to do what I want, if I serve myself, then I'm feeding the flesh. The more we feed the flesh, the less desire we have for Christ. The harder it becomes to be directed by Him as He seeks to live through you. Whereas the more we feed the Spirit, the more we grow in our love for Christ. And the stronger we become in Him to do battle against the flesh, and the more we allow Him to live through us. You know, the farther you go in serving yourself, the farther and longer you go in serving the flesh, the harder it becomes to make that transition back to living in the Spirit. And so it's important that we keep check on our lives. And so when Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, it was a total surrender to his Savior. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, refocusing our mind, refocusing our thoughts on Christ continually. You know, it's a continual battle. You can't necessarily just wake up in the morning and say, all right, we'll focus on Christ, and then you just roll on through the day. It's a continual thing, because every day, all day, something pops up here, something pops up there, something distracts me here, something catches my attention here, and I have to reset. I have to refocus. It's that Bible verse that I memorized that I have to bring back into my mind and quote it and say, this is what the Word of God says. I need to focus on Christ. It's maybe turning off the hip-hop and the rap and the pop and whatever else you like to listen to and turning on the Christian music and refocusing on Christ. Listening to things that glorify our Savior. Quoting Scripture. Knowing the Word of God. These are the things that focus us on Christ and keep us renewed in our minds. And so as we think about it being about Christ, as we look at the life of Paul, you know, you see that 100% dedication. And you know, that lifestyle that Paul lived is not out of reach for any of us. You know, you look at the Apostle Paul and we think, well, man, I wish I could be like Paul. I wish I could be that dedicated to Christ. I wish I could serve Christ in the way that Paul did. That lifestyle is not out of reach, because Paul was indwelt by the same Holy Spirit and he had the same Savior as we do. He had the same power available to him that we have to us. Paul simply dedicated his life to serving Christ. That lifestyle that Paul lived is not out of reach for any of us. But we see that Paul had two options in life: live and glorify Christ, and die and glorify Christ. There was no other option. Paul didn't have the opt-out for retirement. Paul didn't go, man, if I ever get out of jail, I think I'm going to hang it up. You know, I've led a lot of believers to the Lord. I've started several churches by this point. You know, I think I'm good. If I can get out of jail, I believe I'm going to retire and just kind of enjoy the rest of my life. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, I got two options: live, glorify Christ, serve Christ. Die, serve Christ, glorify Christ. If you jump down, if you're back in Philippians, look at verse 22 and 23. Philippians 22 and 23, we see that Paul will say, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So we see Paul's two options. Paul says, if I live on in the flesh, it's going to mean more fruitful labor. Paul says, if I live on in the flesh, I'm going to continue to labor for Christ and I'm going to continue to produce fruit for Him. But if I die, I get to go be with Christ, which is far better. So Paul says, I've got two options: live and serve Christ, die and be with Christ. Those are it. There is no, I think I'm going to retire, I think I'm going to take a break, I'm taking a vacation. Paul didn't say that. Two options: live for Christ or die for Christ. And that was it. And that was Paul's lifestyle. That's how he lived, sold out for Christ. He gave no room for the flesh. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 26 and 27 says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul says, I discipline myself. I focus myself. I put all my effort towards a goal. I'm not just running just to run. I'm not fighting just to swing my arms in the air. Paul says, I have a goal, I have a purpose, and that is to serve Christ, and I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection to Christ. You know, it's not easy. It's not something that we wake up in the morning and go, all right, that's it, no more flesh, I'm going for Christ, and I'm not wasting any more time. You know, it's a constant struggle. And we see that Paul disciplined his body, he brought it into subjection, and he lived a life of self-denial. He lived a life that said the only thing worthy in life is to live to glorify Christ. And that's what Paul went for. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Setting aside self, walking in the Spirit, and seeking after Christ, valuing Him above all else, living out the truth of the Word of God and allowing Him to live through us. For me to live is Christ, living the Christ-centered life. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we just thank You for this time that we have to open Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You are a gracious and loving God, and we thank You for the sacrifice that You have that You made there on the cross at Calvary. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You have sent to indwell every one of us who believe in You. Lord, we just thank You that You were patient, that You were gracious with us. And Lord, I just pray that we will focus our minds on You, that we will dedicate ourselves wholly to serving You and to living for You, so that we can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so, Lord, I pray that we will take these things seriously and that we will focus on You, that we will value You above all else, and that our life's goal will be to glorify You as our Savior. And so I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.